Dogs seem to know everything about their owners, from their schedules to their scents to exactly what annoys us, or is that just you? I don't know. So shouldn't humans know everything about their dogs? Well, Embark's dog DNA test allows you to do just that. Getting to know your dog's breed mix and genetic health risks with Embark means strengthening your bond with your furry friend. And Embark founded the world's first canine relative finder. I have actually found distant cousins of Geo's. Anyway, we'll get there. They even offer you the ability to connect directly with other Embark dog owners in their database. We'd like to thank EmbarkVet.com for supporting And That's Why We Drink. And you can go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 on the breed and health test with promo code DRINK. So Geo is quite a situation. All right, I got the Embark test done, and he is American Pit Bull Terrier. He is Shih Tzu. He's Australian Cattle Dog, Dachshund Chow Chow, German Shepherd, and Labrador Retriever. He is, as by the way, Embark put it, which made me so happy, he is a super mutt. Isn't that nice? I was thrilled because I had done a test on him ages ago, but it was like pretty simple and like kind of just not very, very in-depth. This Embark test was amazing. It told us that he was part Dachshund, which made a lot of sense because he's kind of like hot dog shaped. Get the dog DNA test that is trusted by millions. Right now, Embark has a limited time offer on their breed and health test for our listeners. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 with promo code DRINK. Visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DRINK to save $50 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Happy to be here.
Oh, we are recording live.
Live in New York.
In California.
How are you?
Good, not great.
Why?
I'm so sleepy. So, here's the thing.
Here we go.
You asked.
I know.
You've opened the box.
You always make me ask, so I figured I might as well do it.
Yay! Okay. I like you knowing my need for attention.
Okay.
So, I have a friend. His name is Ross.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Allison. I was like,
no, we're starting from the beginning.
Oh, God. Okay.
I have a friend named Ross. He was once my Lyft driver. We got stuck in traffic and bonded over how we didn't have many friends, so we decided to be friends. So I've hung out with him quite often, and I found out that just like I love superheroes and Back to the Future, he is a big fan of Jurassic Park.
Sure.
So
seems like a winning combo.
Up until yesterday, yes. So then he found out that the new Jurassic World ride was at Universal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, will you go with me? And I said, yes, like a fool.
Big fool.
Because I was like, of course I'll go. Like, I want to go with someone who's all fucking hyped to be there. And what I forgot to put into the equation was that he would want to be there before everyone else. And so he said, okay, well, meet me at my house at 6. And I was like, a.m.? And he said, yes, 6 a.m.
Big mistake.
So that way we can be the first people there.
No.
And I said, okay, when does the park open? Thinking it must be like 6:01. And he said, oh, it doesn't open till 8:30.
No. Wait, so, are you serious?
So I was like, do you really expect me to stand in line for 2.5 hours before the park opens? And he said, yep.
Did you do that for real?
I did. I'm a good friend.
Okay, I hope you learned your lesson about looking for friends. This is what happens. This is why
I should have stayed alone. I should have been a hermit.
Hello, this is what I do. I sit in my house.
Well, so I'm using
my
it as
my Sims are my friends, and they don't make me go anywhere at 6 a.m.
I'm using it as an IOU because I don't know if you've heard, but Marvel Land is opening.
No, and I haven't. So thanks for letting me know.
I will be going often, and I will be wanting to beat everyone at all the rides. So sure. Now he has no reason to say no to me.
Okay, that's true. You can hold it over his head. That is a good thing about a friend, is you can use one another in a power,
proven myself.
Power dynamic. Okay.
But so...
And at least I'm not going to be the one sucker who has to fall for it. Ross can take my
place. I know
place.
Not to invite you. I'd be like, look over there! And you'd be like, I don't get it. So I would take Allison 1,000 times, but now I'm only going to take her 500, and I'm going to make Ross go 500 times.
Well, Allison's in a cast right now, so good luck.
So round two of my story is because I woke up so early to hang out with Ross, I got zero sleep because I usually go to bed only a couple hours before 6 a.m.
Right.
And so I was super tired all day. Plus, I was in the heat all day. And then I came home and I was just ready to pass out. And then Allison told me that she's had this weird issue with her foot for a long time. And we finally found out yesterday that she fractured it.
Yeah, that sucks.
And so now she's in a cast for a month. And it's on her right foot, which means she can't drive herself to work. When I was like, oh, I can't wait to fall asleep, she was like, oh, well, hopefully you'll wake up early because you have to take me to work. And you have to do it every day for the next 30 days. So
this I'm is like the universe punishing you for trying to be sociable.
To be friendly.
Yeah.
So I'm in the middle of trying to fix my sleep schedule and like consistently stay up. Wake up early.
Well,
this was my second morning waking up early and I hated it.
That sounds terrible. I woke up at 8 and I was like, this is so early. I deserve 3 more hours of sleep.
There's something wrong with my natural circadian rhythm. I've never been able to fall asleep before like 3 a.m.
Right.
And so when I had a day job that sucked and I just could never fix, I could never fix it.
Yeah.
And
also now's the time.
So apparently now's
great.
The time. And so I'm just super tired is the answer to how I'm doing.
Well,
how are you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. Good, not great.
Good, not great. Why?
Oh, I'm actually okay. I just kind of wanted to use that phrase.
Like the phrase.
It's a good
phrase.
Feels
right.
It's a good, not great phrase.
Yeah.
so stupid. No, I did want to say everyone's been so nice about like when I said I'd cut back on drinking. So many people have reached out and been like, hey, just want you like wanted to touch base and say like I've been trying to do that too, or like I've been considering it and now I'm going to go through with it. And it's just been really cool.
Nice.
And a lot of people have reached out and like people our age, the people in their 20s, which I feel like traditionally when you're in your 20s, it's just kind of a given that like
yeah.
you can drink all the time, whenever you want, whatever. And so people have been like super understanding and kind. And I just really appreciate that. So it's going well.
Nice.
I got a little nervous because I had a few drinks the other day and I was like, am I going to fall back into the hole? But I was fine. And I feel like I've found a good balance, knock on wood. Also, I'm really excited because Eva has started putting our episodes up on YouTube.
Oh, yes.
So,
I was like, what did Eva do?
There was this monster who was stealing our content and putting it on YouTube, and thousands of people were listening to it on YouTube, and I kept trying to tell YouTube it's mine, and they were like, we can find zero evidence that it belongs to you.
Even though we'd submitted like legal documents that it was our trademark.
There's
and everything.
There's a gold seal on that from the U.S. Patent Office.
A notarized piece of paper that YouTube was like, well, that's not enough.
Why don't you prove it?
And so, someone kept listening, someone kept posting all of our stuff.
Yeah, and people didn't know better because like why would they know that it's not us,
right?
And so anyway, I finally like went full tilt on this YouTube thing and I wrote this long ass thing and was like, my patent lawyer who's my dad's golf partner, by the way, it's like my patent lawyer would get involved. And so finally YouTube was like, okay, and they took it down. So now instead Eva is putting up our episodes because I know a lot of people like to listen to them on YouTube for some reason. So
I don't know. But anyway, go help us.
Yeah.
At least beat the numbers that other guy had.
Seriously. And it's going kind of slow because it takes like hours to upload for some reason, apparently. Because each episode's like an hour and a half. So.
Sure.
So, yeah. So Eva's putting them up right now. I think she said she's on episode 20 right now. So if you guys want
to
subscribe to our YouTube channel, we sometimes put weird shit up there. I don't know. It's been a while.
One day. We have thoughts. So
yeah.
Maybe in the future we're going to have some stuff. Just subscribe now, so if we ever
just
put something
case.
On there, you'll be happily surprised.
JIC, you know.
JIC, FYI.
Yeah, anyway, that's also, I just thought I would mention that.
Cool.
While I had the chance.
Nice.
Yeah, so thank you to Eva for being proactive.
Yeah.
And thank you not to that person who stole our shit.
Whoever, it's someone who listens to us, too, so you know who you are.
Don't do that. It's illegal. It says on the thing on YouTube, like, I own this content.
It was mean of you.
Don't do that.
Anyway, I do want to actually let me double check that I'm allowed to say.
Sure.
It.
Oh.
I just want to make
say
sure.
Say it. Oh my god. Okay, we sold out New Orleans. Update.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Yay, very nice.
Let's see. We have a couple tickets left in Atlanta. Oh man. That's exciting.
Should I say it and ask for permission later? And then if I don't have permission, I'll just tell Eva to delete this.
Sure.
Okay. So since my episode on McRaven Mansion, I have been in touch with one of the tour guides that I talked about.
Yeah,
the one named JJ on the...
Well, because they tweeted at us, right?
They tweeted. Okay, yeah. So they wow, it was a while ago, so I don't know if I'll be able to find the original tweet, but they said I did a really good job on my story, so I'm very proud. Isn't
that super exciting?
I always get so nervous that someone who is, like, well knowledgeable about
aware of something.
Yeah, or someone, maybe it's, like, someone who had an experience, and I'm, like, butchering their experience. Well, I get so nervous I'm gonna get sued every day.
With the fuck? Hello, at least you're not doing people's murder stories.
Hello, I could be talking about something that's crazy haunted and it's not at all. And I've just like ruined.
Hello, I could be talking about how somebody murdered someone and
they
didn't.
Right. Okay, you're right.
No, but I get nervous too because someone reached out recently and Eva forwarded it and said like, friends with priceless pieces, girlfriend. And I'm like,
oh no.
But they were really supportive and said I did a good job too. But I'm always like, I probably said something because I mean I said stuff about his parents and like
right.
You don't know anyway. Sorry. So I feel I feel the anxiety.
My first reaction when they wrote to us,
yeah,
I said like I hope I didn't fuck it up. Like
sure,
please know that please don't sue
That's
me.
Our
like
biggest fear.
I everything's a legend. That should have been the title of our podcast, just to cover our
That's
asses.
That's the subtitle.
So I was asking. So their name is Jay.
Uh huh.
I don't mean to be misgendering with they, but I'm just gonna. I want to be inclusive. So Jay ended up telling me that they weren't Zach's favorite person in the world.
Which I just, that line alone, everyone was like, oh.
And so I was like, oh, why? And I ended up DMing Jay just to be like, tell me why. And apparently there was some other creepy stuff going on behind the scenes that like no one got to see. Like on camera, like things were happening when the cameras were off.
Sure.
Jay said that when they actually left, apparently the spirits were so pissed that Zach and the whole crew were there that after the whole crew left, the management had to stay behind and keep relocking the doors
because
would lock the door to the porch. And then when they like left, the doors would fly open. So they'd have to go relock it. But when they got to the door, they would see into the building and see that other doors were now wide open.
The ghosts were acting out, basically.
The ghosts were acting out. They did not like Zach being there.
I can't imagine why.
And so then I also said, I just asked too. I was like, did any of the spirits ever follow you home or make you feel unsafe after that night? Just because I was curious about their personal stories, because I like asking personal questions and to strangers. And so Jay said, the only spirit, this is through my DMs, by the way, I'm just reading my DMs. The only spirit to ever follow me home was Mary Elizabeth, who was the 15-year-old.
Yes, the died in childbirth.
Yes. The only one to follow me home was Mary Elizabeth, but she would just do little things. Like once I couldn't find my earring, I walked out. And when I came back, she had put it in the center of my dresser.
No.
Just little things. No. Just little terrifying things. We had a good connection. I actually slept in her bed before.
No!
Which is just creepy.
Why would you do that?
Jay said, I know I'm nuts, but I had a solid reason. So I didn't find out the rest of that. But
I'm just going to trust you on that.
Andrew, who was the super creepy one that was like attacking everybody.
Ew.
Andrew always made me uncomfortable, tugged on my skirt, called my name, or you could just feel him staring. Mary doesn't like him either. And Bob, remember the guy who threw a brick at the soldiers and then he got shot.
Don't fuck with the chrysanthemums.
Bob tried to scare me a few times when I became manager, but he was just being protective over his home. Aww. He would wake me up if I fell asleep by tapping on something. He yelled at one of my guests who was playing inappropriate music during work hours. And then this is the creepy one because I didn't know about this.
Tell me.
I also would play ball with Peekaboo during investigations. Who is Peekaboo? I don't fucking know.
You didn't ask?
Listen.
Jay.
Okay, so Jay
is Peekaboo.
He also used to turn the Civil War around. It sounds like I almost said Civil War. Hang on. I'm going to re-say it.
Civil War? He turned the Civil War around. It was incredible.
Everyone unified.
Just took one brick.
He also used to turn the silverware around just before I came in on tour. I swear he did it to bug me. It only happened with me. I'll send you a picture of him in a second.
Of him?
He's a little boy. Also, sorry for the long message. I could seriously talk about this house for days. So Jay sent me this picture and said, you can see him peeking from behind the chair.
I'm going to die.
Which means like this, I guess she calls him Peekaboo.
Yeah.
Sorry. They call him Peekaboo because they play Peekaboo together. And this is a picture.
Stop it.
They got
it. And we don't know
Peekaboo.
Who it is.
Yeah. I just want you to come over.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh my God. Okay.
Here, I'll just throw you my phone. Oh. Okay, ready? It's behind the chair.
Oh my god, that's a child.
That's definitely a child's face.
Oh no.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't like that. Oh my god.
It's like absolutely the silhouette of a child.
We have this mirror in my house.
Do you really?
Yeah.
In your haunted ass house?
At my dad's house.
Not surprised. But anyway, I just wanted to share those stories.
Thank
you, Jay, for reaching out.
Wowza.
It's also very cool to me that someone from, like, Ghost Adventures, like, regardless of scale, like, okay, you were only in one episode, but you were on Ghost Adventures,
yeah,
and you listened to our podcast? That's so cool.
I mean, the second M sent that, I was like, we are one degree away from Bagelbites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bananas.
Bananas.
Anyway, sorry for that long
thing. No, that's thing. Amazing.
Other than that, I'm good for telling you a story.
That was trippy. The kid in the behind the...
The fact that we just call him Peekaboo.
I don't like that.
Just the worst.
It makes it sound like a little demon.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
A demon named Peekaboo.
It sounds like... What was that thing? We did a story on a Popper. Popper, the ghost.
Yeah, who Peekaboo. Popped all the bottles.
Peekaboo and Popper.
That'd be a cool little children's book.
Oh, Popper
actually,
and Peekaboo.
Actually, wait, Eva, write this down. We should start, like, you know, Berenstain Bears had, like, a series of children's books. We should have a series of different ghosts and demons for children.
I call Popper and Peekaboo.
Okay, cool. And on the back of each one, we'll show them, like, how to sage, just in case they conjure something
no,
by reading our
books
out loud.
We're not going to tell children to play with matches and fire, please.
No, but play with the demons. Those are less flammable.
I think that's probably safer than telling a child how to use a lighter. I'm just going to be upfront with you.
You should just, we could do like what like Nickelodeon Magazine and all of them have done, where it's like, get a parent to approve it. Or
Nickelodeon Magazine, please.
Yeah. Have your mom call and get a magazine
for
you.
We want your mom to call us.
We want your mom to sage the entire house after you read our book.
I'm Christine.
Oh God.
Here's my cell phone number.
Actually, no. Here's my lawyer.
Actually,
please never call him.
My patent lawyer. He's golfing with my dad. You can talk to him.
My story today.
We're idiots. Okay.
So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. In fact, I actually shout this at any friends I have who are engaged because it saved my life when I was planning my wedding. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. I tell my friends Zola is a one-stop shop, right? This is the key to planning a wedding. I didn't even have a wedding planner. I used Zola and they were so helpful on every front. Everything from save the dates to a wedding website to online RSVPs to finding vendors. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go. Or on your couch. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like when you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/drink. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
My story today, which is one of the many books to come out in Barnes & Noble one day in the children's section, is a cryptid.
Okay.
Slash alien.
Okay.
Oh, where's this going? So here's the thing. I see all of your tweets. I know this Area 51 nonsense is blowing up. I know a lot of people wanted me to cover Area 51, but I cannot do that.
To answer your questions, yes, we are there right now.
We are
reporting live.
Reporting live at Area 51.
Don't worry about it.
California.
Uh-huh.
it just, I trust me, Area 51 is on my list for the future, but that is just so much information.
It's a big story.
I could not research it in the time that it would have taken me to do it justice.
Since it came in the news. Yeah, you would have needed the long.
Exactly. So I'm compromising and I'm giving you an alien
also,
story.
If something like breaks, like especially like if a true crime thing breaks and they just caught somebody or whatever, I always wait a few weeks because
the like, more information
wanna,
might come.
Yeah, you want to hear like the full story and wait till you get all the details.
Anyway. Right. So anyway, no, you're not getting Area 51. Sorry. But I'm negotiating with
sorry,
you.
Sorry, children.
And giving you an alien story-ish.
Okay.
So this is a story that I heard about growing up because it was in West Virginia.
Oh. Which,
West Virginia. In case you didn't know, it's close to Virginia. Wow. Which people is...
In case you didn't know, it's east of Virginia, actually. It's pretty incredible.
Well, people like us who, like, don't know what salt is might actually have been surprised by that.
A lot of scientists messaged me and were very kind.
You know what's wild is I have met a lot of people in California where when I say I'm from Virginia, they put them together. They have assumed that it's West Virginia and Virginia are the same thing.
What?
It's very
that
weird.
It's, like, part of the state?
When
it's
I
just,
worked,
like, the western half of the state?
When I worked my day job, I worked there for 3 years and told people all the time, no, it's Virginia. No, it's Virginia. But people who knew me forever were like, oh, yeah, I'm from West Virginia. I was like... No.
What a weird thing.
I don't know if they just think I'm talking about, like, the west part of Virginia.
Right.
And they just decided that West Virginia was a good answer.
I don't know.
I don't know. But since I moved out here, for some reason, there statistically has been more times I've had to correct people.
All right.
So, anyway, if you're in Virginia or West Virginia, apparently this is the same state. And it's at least this story is close enough that even though I... was only surrounding West Virginia. I did hear about it growing up.
Okay.
So this is the cryptid slash alien story of the Flatwoods Monster slash the Braxton County Monster slash the Green Monster slash the Phantom of Flatwoods slash the Frametown Monster slash Braxy.
God damn it. It's taking up all the good names. Braxy?
Braxy.
I like that one the best.
Double X.
Okay. What the hell is this?
Okay. So we're going to call it the Flatwoods Monster.
That's a long children's book title. You have to really pick one.
I just have to give you all six names.
Yeah.
Okay. Flatwoods Monster. Let me readjust real quick. I was like sinking into the couch.
Yeah, no
worries.
It
was upsetting my coccyx.
Super.
All right. So the Flatwoods Monster. And I only ever heard about the Flatwoods Monster when it came to like camping.
Okay.
I guess because they assume they'll like, they'll get you in the woods. I don't know. That's all I heard about. If people are trying to figure out my, like, personal experience with the Flatwoods Monster, it's not a big experience.
It didn't get you in the woods.
It did not.
That's good.
Or did it? And I'm just a...
You're just a shell of what you once were.
Thank you. Well, ain't that the truth, but...
That came out a little too quick out of my mouth.
It was too soon, yeah.
Yeah, I...
I felt that one more than I think you wanted it.
Should have played it a little more jokey than I did. Sorry about that.
Should have done it with a slight chuckle at the end.
Yeah, yeah. I dropped the ball.
So the Flatwoods Monster has been featured... in many pieces of pop culture.
Nickelodeon magazine, to be...
Yes, page one, actually. It was on the cover.
It's the first edition.
It's been on the Nintendo game Amagon. I'm probably pissing people off who play that game. Also, The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask. The Wii U game, The Wonderful 101. Also, it's been on the shows Mountain Monsters, Monster Quest... Project Blue Book, and a documentary called The Flatwoods Monster, A Legacy of Fear.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, it's more a cryptid than anything else. It's like, if there was a big cryptid umbrella, the alien part of it is underneath the umbrella.
Okay.
Cryptid first. And it is seen in the forests of Flatwoods, West Virginia. It's also been seen in Frametown, West Virginia, which I guess is pretty close. And at the time of this story, the town of Flatwoods, West Virginia, was a village of less than 300 people.
Oh, okay.
Very small town.
Very teeny.
The monster is described as being 10 feet tall and 4 feet wide. This is kind of confusing. Its body is either wearing a robotic suit or it is a robotic being.
Wearing
nothing. Like its skin is made of machine. Basically.
Listen, all right.
We've heard weirder.
I'm going to go with it.
Some people were saying, oh, it's wearing a robotic suit or it's wearing a spacecraft. And some people were like, no, it is a robotic suit or a spacecraft.
It is wearing a spacecraft? Who are you wearing?
Space! I'm wearing NASA, bitch.
What the fuck?
I don't know. Okay. Instead of it being an organic being, it might have just been a machine.
Okay.
But not from Earth, obviously.
Obviously.
It's also described as having a cowl in the shape of an ace of spades. So it's like a, looks like a big hood on its head.
Ew, that is creepy.
And it's got a red round head. It has two eyes that glow green orange, which is
this,
not...
This cannot make up its mind, huh?
It's like, I don't know what I am. And then again, the body is made of or wearing a metallic armored structure lined with thick vertical pipes.
This thing cannot get you in the woods because it walks at 0.2 miles per hour.
It sounds like it needs to get oiled or something.
Yes.
People have said that the body is either black or green.
Or orange or red.
Or technicolor. They say black or green because it was only seen in the dark, so I guess you couldn't really tell what the actual color was.
That's fair.
Most say that the monster was armless, but others say that it actually had two small, lanky arms on the front that you just couldn't see if you weren't looking at the right angle.
So it's just those little T-Rex arms.
Exactly.
Okay, I see.
So it really was like little dinosaur arms. Sorry, got my heartburn again. I did start taking pills, just so everyone starts asking. And like a lot of people tweeted out and gave me comments about heartburn, like good advice. So thank you for your advice.
A lot of people gave different kinds of advice. I saw some being like, don't take medicine. I saw some saying, well, take medicine.
I follow the people who said take medicine. Okay. So now I'm on medicine, except I didn't take any today. So
did you like get a prescription or just
no,
like,
I just went to like CVS. Okay, so back to this alien cyborg monster cryptid.
So you're taking NaCl, to be clear.
I'm actually taking chalk, yeah.
I want to be sure that we're all salt.
Only chalk salt.
Okay.
Yes. From the Civil War, which is clearly the 1700s, not the 1860s. And also, never mind, I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah, let's rehash every idiotic thing we said last week.
What's a rhombus? So there's the Flatwoods monster, and then there's the Frametown monster, which are... supposedly the same thing, although based on different towns, it had different descriptions.
Okay.
So the Flatwoods monster, is the one I have been describing. The Frametown monster apparently is only metallic from the waist down, and from the waist up, he is a reptile.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at it. It's going to get me.
Well, who knows?
It's so ridiculous sounding.
So it's supposedly the same thing. People think that maybe it started morphing into a reptile by the time people saw it in Frametown.
Okay.
I don't know. It's the same monster, but different descriptions. So the story is in 1952, and there were four boys playing football in their school playground at night, after hours. Bad boys.
Uh-oh, little rebels.
So they all saw a ball of fire flying across the sky, and it landed on a hilltop in Bailey Fisher Farm. So they went to, two of those four boys were brothers, so they went to those two kids' house. They told their mom that they saw a UFO, and the mom, named Kathleen, went with them to the farm to try to find it, including other locals. So there was Kathleen, her four sons, two of the other sons were at the house, so now her four sons, and then their friends, Neil, Jean, Tommy, Ronnie, and a local beautician, who is unnamed. What? She's the only one without a name, and
well,
she's the only...
Well, that's not very nice.
Fun fact... one of them had a dog, so the dog also went with
them. One of these people.
One of these people had a dog.
Okay.
The one named Jean had a dog.
Oh.
Jean also had a last name. Do you want to know what the last name is?
Nah.
Lemon.
No way.
Yeah.
Are you being serious?
Jean Lemon.
Didn't this happen one time and it turned out to be...
It's happening too often is what's happening.
It's happened at a live show.
It's one of those things...
But then it was Layman. You were just
no, this one's Lemon.
It is literally Lemon.
It is literally Lemon.
Okay.
So, Jean Lemon's dog.
And I love Lemon.
And in all of the articles I was reading, they were like, Lemon's dog. And I was like, ah, oh, fuck, now I'm thinking of Gio.
Lemon has a dog, too.
Oy. So, Kathleen hears about this from her kids. All four of her kids run to the hilltop to see for themselves, including Neil, Jean, Tommy, Ronnie, a beautician, and Jean's dog.
A beautician.
Whatever their name is. So, one of the local dogs... I guess other dogs started, like, running together. They, like, all started running towards us. Started barking and ran back a few minutes later with its tail between its legs.
Honey.
So they already knew something not so great was there. The group reached the top of the hill where they saw a large pulsating ball of fire like they had just seen flying in the sky. They also started smelling a sulfur-like odor that made their eyes and noses burn. Mm. And eventually, Jean Lemon's dog refused to walk any further.
Aww.
And so some distance ahead was that, quote, ball of fire. It's kind of turned into a pulsing red light.
Okay.
So while looking near the light, Jean also saw glowing eyes. So he pointed his flashlight at it. And that's when everyone saw the creature for the first time.
Uh-oh.
It had a red face surrounded by a pointed hood-like shape. Apparently, its body had drape-like folds.
Ew.
Super gross.
Yeah.
Some say it had arms. Some say it didn't. Some say it was floating. And then there is one article I saw that said it covered Kathleen with a strange oily substance.
Ew!
and people were saying that it looked very mechanical, like it was a, quote, living machine, not a flesh and blood creature.
What in the world?
So,
can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Is the ball of fire, like, separate from the being, or is that part of it? Yeah,
I think they thought that it might have been the crashed UFO.
Like, there was a... So it was near the ball of fire.
It was near the crashed UFO.
Okay, I get it.
And so the monster emitted a shrill hissing noise, then glided towards them, and then changed direction and flew off. Obviously, what would the group do next? Fled. They just fled.
They fled.
They fled in panic.
Okay, yes, as you should do.
As you should do. And they did the smart thing. They contacted the local sheriff and a news reporter. That night, after they reported what they saw to the sheriff, they all had severe nausea, swollen throats, and some even had convulsions.
Oh my God.
Which a doctor said these were all symptoms of mustard gas.
Oh my God. How weird.
Very weird. That's when it starts getting weird.
Oh, that's when it starts.
That's when it starts. The mechanical thing in the sky.
So boringly normal. Oh my God.
Jean Lemon's dog, come on.
Sounds like a normal Wednesday, am I right?
So the reporter and the sheriff went to the site with the farmer, because remember, it landed in the middle of a farm.
Sure.
They went to the farmer, all three of them went out to where everyone said they saw something, and they found no trace of an encounter, but there was still, according to the reporter, quote, a sickening, burnt, metallic odor still prevailing. So they knew something was there.
This thing's not very subtle, though, huh?
It just makes really gnarly farts, I guess.
I guess so. And also, I'm kind of like, I feel like typically aliens are much more advanced beings when you encounter them. And this one seems like it's just like bumbling around and like accidentally spraying oil and like clunking. Yeah. Like it seems.
Me as an alien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like our attempt at being.
Right.
It's just really a little bit sad. It's trying so hard.
It's like, come on, get your shit together. So there was a gross odor that was still around. The reporter visited the site again the next day, because remember, the first time there was no trace of anything being there except for the smell.
Right.
So the reporter goes back, found two tracks in the mud that they couldn't figure out, and also found traces of a, quote, thick, black, oddly gummy deposit liquid.
Ooh.
So, he reported them as being possible signs of a UFO because whatever the tracks were in the mud, they could have not been from a car because that area hadn't been used for any traffic in the last year.
Okay.
So for them to just show up out of nowhere didn't make sense. The day after this event, and the after the Flatwoods incident, there was a couple named George and Edith, and they were driving through Frametown. Mm-hmm. So this is the reptilian
description. Oh, right.
The Frametown monster.
Okay.
So George and Edith are driving through Frametown, and their car stalls all of a sudden and refuses to start again. And all of a sudden, they smell this really bad sulfuric odor in the air.
Mm-mm.
The couple got out of the car to see what was wrong with their vehicle, and they saw the creature that was described a lot like the Flatwoods monster, but according to their report, it was reptilian from the waist up. Weird. It was hovering and glowing. Kind of far away from their car, but they could see it in the distance, hovering and glowing. And then George says that he felt thousands of needle-like vibrations, and then he got sick.
Like
vomitous.
Vomitous sick?
Yeah. When he got back in the car, his wife said to turn around and the figure was even closer than before. Apparently it was 10 feet tall and had, quote, a bloated stomach, long arms, and was gliding rapidly.
Oh, God.
It lifted above the tree line and flew off, leaving a trail of light behind it.
Okay.
So that's the only story for the Frametown description of the monster.
Got it.
That was the only incident that happened in Frametown. I mean,
it makes sense if they were saying he had, like, weird folded skin. It reminds me of a big iguana or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking of that, like, with its, like, weird, like, weenus skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like little flabs.
Flabs. You know, one of my least favorite words is flap.
Yeah, you've said that. It is kind of gross. It sounds like a...
Like, I get like a bird flapping its wings, but, like, when you think of, like, skin flaps.
Yeah, I don't like that, actually.
And that's what I think of when I think of, like, drapes of skin. Body parts. Yeah. Mm. Gross.
It is you as an alien.
It is. Me and my flaps. So, interestingly, so those were the two main stories, but several other locals ended up reporting having seen a strange aircraft that night. Seven of those sightings were taken more seriously than others, but there were a lot of reports. So one reportedly seeing a bright orange object circling overhead the Flatwoods area. Two people said that they saw the creature 11 miles from the farm a week before the incident.
Oh.
So before the boys ever found it, it was around for a week before.
Okay.
There were reports of homes shaking violently and radios cutting out at the same time the UFO was seen landing.
Mm.
Apparently, there's an area there called James Knob, and it was also reportedly hit by another UFO that people saw. There's a witness that saw a UFO taking off at 6:30 a.m. the morning after the UFO was seen, as if it, like, fixed the UFO that had crashed and was now leaving.
Oh.
And there's a compiled account as of 2004 that there were hundreds of reports in multiple states of UFOs and landings reported that same night.
Okay.
So that implies that a whole fleet of UFOs were visiting Earth that night.
Terrifying. Oh, that's really my nightmare.
All
right, great.
And they're all that bumbling and weird and bad at being an alien.
That's less scary to me.
They're, like, just all kind of...
I prefer that. I prefer the flappy aliens to...
The flappy alien, like, accidentally spraying you with oil and crashing their vehicles.
Whoops.
Was he just drunk, actually?
He could have been a tipsy alien, now that I think about it.
Sounds like he was just, it was just, like, happy hour for him.
Aw. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, he says.
Even in space.
Even on my planet, Glibglorb. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
It's glap o'clock somewhere. Anyway. Glap o'clock. I don't know. Glibglorb and flap happened in my head.
Flap o'clock. I... Heat is dangerous. Children.
Guys, we're so hot. There's no air conditioning in here.
There is. We just can't use it because we want to protect your delicate ears from the noise.
It's too loud when we record.
Things we do for you.
I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, it's been lost.
So esteemed UFOologists.
Sure.
Also came to examine this. They were, like, really starting to take it seriously. Some of the UFOologists who are, quote, esteemed. Are John Keel, who is pretty big in the UFO.
I love John Keel.
Yeah. So yes. he investigated this. So
he's Mothman, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So did Gray Barker
and
Ivan Sanderson.
Okay. So, all very esteemed.
All very esteemed. Ivan Sanderson was a naturalist, so he took a lot of soil samples to see what could have possibly been.
So he picked up the goop.
He picked up the goop.
Mm.
His findings were never made public.
Oh.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I'm not saying that means anything. I'm just saying it's interesting.
I'm just saying it means something.
I'm saying it means something private something and mysterious.
Very important.
Something people don't want you to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gray Barker, he also reported the story in Fate magazine based on recorded interviews. And so the whole story ended up making local news, and then it got picked up by national radio, and then it got picked up by even bigger papers. And Kathleen ended up going to New York to talk about it at CBS.
Oh, okay.
So it was getting, like, widespread attention, and it allegedly also prompted the Air Force to add it to their Project Blue Book.
Ooh.
Which I'm not going to get into because I think that could be a good story one day.
Yes.
But it's a...
You've mentioned it.
It's a big old archived...
A database.
A database, if you will, of alien encounters, especially during the 50s and 60s.
So cool and creepy, and I wish I had a coffee book version.
Ugh, can you imagine?
I would love that very much.
So... It's now apparently added into the Project Blue Book.
Oh my God, we could do a children's book version.
Wait a minute.
Project Baby Blue Book. No, I'll work on it. God.
We'll figure it out. But no, I'm down.
I love it.
We could do, like, We could teach kids colors like Project Red Book, Project Green Book, Project Blue Book.
As long as it rhymes, I think we can make any of this into a children's book.
One fish, two fish, red book, blue book.
But yeah, that sounds good. One flab, two flab. Oh,
God. One flab, two flab, red book, blue book.
Happy flabby hour.
Wait a minute.
I forget. I forget what the words we made up.
Flabby bird, yeah.
Flabby bird.
So other weird things that happened. Commander of the West Virginia National Guard, Captain Dale Leavitt, he, quote, examined the area himself with 50 Air Force personnel and found an oily substance and a 6-meter-wide circle of depressed grass with no explanation. Kathleen also, this is the weirdest part, Kathleen also claims that a couple days after the incident, two mysterious men...
There it is.
...dressed in black...
There it is.
...said that they were magazine reporters, and they demanded to be shown the crash site.
I'm telling you.
When she took them there, they went into the woods, and they came out with strange oily stains on their clothes and never mentioned them to her again.
They're just like, don't mind us.
They were like, don't look.
Where's the dry cleaner?
So after Kathleen's report to Gray Barker about that, Gray Barker wrote about this and... in a way, incidentally, introduced the concept of the Men in Black.
The aha.
Bingo.
Bingo bango.
If you're wondering, the inspo from the MIB.
I'm telling you, that is one of the creepiest parts of these alien things to me, the Men in Black.
And theaters
now. And Mothman, too.
Yes. So Gray Barker went on to actually become a prominent UFO and mythology writer. So this was one of his, like, first big cases.
Okay.
But fun fact about the Men in Black.
It is.
Or a scary fact about the Men in Black.
Very frightening.
Been around since 52, at least.
Yeah.
So, the skeptics out there say that the oil tracks were actually just from a tractor on the farm, or a Chevy pickup from one of the locals looking around the site on his own. The ball of fire everybody saw was most likely just a meteor, since there was a meteor shower that night on the East Coast.
Oh.
The red light that everyone saw was an aircraft or a hazard beacon, and the monster itself was most likely a female barn owl.
And these people and their barn owls.
Listen, there's a lot of farms with UFOs on them, which makes me think there's a lot of barn owls being mistaken for aliens.
I see.
Probably a female barn owl because that was apparently the time of the year where a barn owl would have just had new babies, and all the people there might have probably been near her nest, so she was protecting her young.
And those are scary.
Yeah, so female barn owls are very large. They're larger than the male ones. They have an orange-brown color. They hiss when threatened, and they swoop their head down and puff up their wings to appear larger, which would explain the Ace of Spades shape.
Yeah, true.
Also, the sulfuric smell could have been an irritated type of grass in the area.
Okay.
Which I don't know about, but that seems to be the main... argument.
Okay.
And the symptoms that the witnesses experienced later could have just been an after effect, like the symptoms of being really sick.
Sure.
Could have just been an after effect from overexertion and sensory overload because they were really afraid. And
right.
So it could just been they were nauseous after just going through a lot mentally.
And like, I don't know about them, but at least for me, like if I think about it, like if someone... It's so easy to, like, get yourself in that headspace of, like, oh, I also feel nauseous. Or, you know, if other people are saying I feel sick. I mean, if someone vomits in front of me, like, I instantly feel nauseous. So I feel like it's not surprising to me.
And also, realistically, of the, like, 10 people that were there, 5 of them were mother and sons. So
right.
If one of them was sick and watched the other one get sick and got sick and watched the other one got sick and got sick. I mean, that's
it's very easy
half
to
of the witnesses.
Get pulled into that. Yeah.
So it could have been framed really well by the news that, like, oh, a lot of the victims got ill.
Totally.
Or they could, like, as a family, they could have fucking had, like, a stomach flu or something.
Not
a big deal.
Mom cooked some bad pork. The beautician brought over her famous brownies.
Right. The fumes from the beautician being there.
Oh, that's true.
Until the 2000s, people of Flatwoods were actually really ashamed and embarrassed of the monster, and they refused to talk about
it. Don't be embarrassed.
Because they thought it gave the town of Flatwoods a bad reputation.
Okay.
Andrew Smith ended up becoming, who I have not mentioned yet, I'm saying it like, you know.
I was like, yeah, Mr. Smith.
So there's a guy named Andrew Smith. He ended up, only a couple years ago, becoming the director of the Braxton County Visitors Bureau, also known as the CVB. So he became like the town's tourism manager. He knew that only a couple towns over in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, they had embraced Mothman and they had had wild success in tourism because of it. So he thought, well, we should be able to do that too. And so he decided that he was going to pull a Mothman tourism stunt and also like and basically give the town the same amount of success
totally
as Point Pleasant. So he was like, okay, if they could do it with Mothman, we can
own it
with the Flatwoods Monster. Exactly. So he decided that he wanted to make a life-size statue of the monster, but then he realized a 10-foot statue was going to be way too expensive. So he decided to be bougie on a budget, and he combined the monster with like the most classic tourist highlight he could think of, which is the giant chair.
Are you serious?
Listen, I love a good item that is not the size it's supposed to be.
Oh, obviously.
Love a good
world's
giant
largest
chair.
Golf tee? Come on.
When I lived in Pasadena, I lived next to the world's largest fork.
Really?
And it was in the middle of two roads, so it was a fork in the road.
Ugh. Have you ever... Oh, I like that.
Killed me.
Have you ever been to the ball of twine?
No.
That's a fun one. You can put your own twine... You literally wrap your own twine on it to make it bigger.
God, get out of here.
I know, I helped make it.
Stop
I liked
it.
I put it on my LinkedIn.
You know what's super... Stop it. You know what's super disappointing? As I saw the world's largest styrofoam cup, and it wasn't fucking styrofoam. It was cement.
That's really rude.
But it was chiseled to look like a classic, like, styrofoam cup at the office.
You know what this means?
Hmm.
This is where we step in and make the world's actual giantest styrofoam
Everyone,
cup.
Everyone, bring your styrofoam to a soon-to-be-determined location.
Actually, don't, because it's very bad for the environment.
And we will burn it all.
No, we won't, because then we'll kill the environment.
Okay.
How about we all make a giant eco-friendly tote bag?
Wait a minute. Let's just make a greenhouse, actually. So, yeah, he wanted to make a... he wanted to combine the Flatwoods Monster with the giant chair. So in 2015, so it was only a couple years ago, he built five different giant chairs that were 10 feet tall, 10 feet to represent the monster.
Mm-hmm.
And he made monster chairs.
Oh my goodness.
So he painted each one by himself. Like this, he just decided this was his big project and he just handled it.
Wait, I love it.
He painted each one uniquely to have its own cool, different design. And he placed them at the five biggest locations of Flatwoods. I don't know if they were the five biggest locations, but they were at least...
Like notable.
Established tourist attractions or like places that visitors already go to.
Sure.
That way it was going to grab attention right away.
Okay.
So for town events, he also had a 7-foot Braxy mascot made by the same company that made Point Pleasant's Mothman mascot.
That's cute.
So if there's like ever a festival or like a parade or something, he'll dress up as Braxy and like walk around the town.
Oh, he wears it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like a statue.
No, he made like a mascot costume.
Oh, I see.
So he also began displaying Flatwoods or Braxy monster memorabilia in the tourism office and eventually expanded it into a Flatwoods monster museum.
Aww.
There's a restaurant in town called The Spot, and it has rebranded itself to offer monster-themed food and decor.
Love it.
And it's actually next to one of the chairs. And so, recently, they thought that the chairs, like, was a big hit and was, like, this huge campaign. And, like, everyone wanted pictures by the chair, and everyone wanted to go see the chairs when they were in Flatwoods. And so now the CVB, or the tourism company, has now begun a new campaign called Free Braxy.
Okay.
To encourage everyone to visit and document their, like, going to each of the chairs. So they made a mission. It's very much for, like, little kids.
Yeah.
But the mission
is... And me, because I'm really already invested.
The mission is that the men in black are trying to cover up the existence of Braxy.
Oh,
so
God.
It's your job to ensure that they don't let you forget who Braxy is. And
Wait,
so
that's really cute.
You just take a... You go to each of the chairs and you take a picture. And when you get a picture at all five chairs... You submit them to basically CVB, but they call it Braxy HQ.
Oh,
like
my God.
Braxy headquarters.
Hell yeah.
And if you send all five of them in, then they'll send you back a free Braxy sticker.
Wait, that's super cute.
And so it's just kind of a good way to let little, you know, it's like a family activity. And
What if that were like actually some government, like some...
Braxy headquarters.
But it was, like, really real. Like, they were trying to, like, gather intel. And so they're like, kids, take photos.
I'm so surprised that we don't know yet of a government operative that has somehow swindled the children into doing the
it's
work
called
for them.
Snapchat, dummy.
Oh, right. Right. Wait a minute. That's already been handled. Okay.
Yeah, don't worry. It's all over. And we've all fallen for it.
Oh, yeah. Guilty.
I literally, you know that new face app thing?
Yes.
So apparently I just read an article that, like...
a bot changed it on Wikipedia.
What?
Oh, you haven't read that one?
No.
Oh.
That, like, it was... the founders now or whoever, I think it's a Russian company. They own literally all of your photos now if you gave access.
It was actually a Chinese company, and a bot changed because so many people have downloaded it. A bot was somehow able to switch it on Wikipedia to say Russian.
Oh, so it like created like a scare.
Yeah.
So now China owns all my companies.
China owns all your pictures. Well,
even better.
If you add any app, whatever country that app is from, they now have access to all your data. Yeah. In case you didn't know that.
I mean, it's the thing.
This is why my father's terrified of the internet.
Well, yeah. Even though he just got a Facebook.
Right.
But I mean, even though, and it's true, like, it sounds so scary and whatever, but it's like, we're already screwed, guys. They already have all our freaking information.
Yeah. I mean, if you have anything with a camera built in.
If you're listening to this on a smartphone, like.
They have it all.
They can have my, I felt better because I saw I think Kristen Bell posting, and I was like, if they have Kristen Bell's photos, they don't care about my photos.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Kristen Bell's and all the Queer Eye guys' photos. They don't need mine. So.
Well, so basically the whole town is now, you know, changed their tune and they're trying to embrace Braxy.
I love that.
The only part of the town that has not yet embraced the monster's new popularity is the farm where the UFO site happened.
Really? They're not into
Tourists it? Tourists are apparently forbidden.
Okay, well then I guess they're probably fucking over
they're
it.
Like, this is a farm. I need
Please
to work.
Stop trying to drag your children through our fields.
Allegedly, the tourists are forbidden. However, I did read another article that said for a couple years they even tested out having a Green Monster festival.
Oh.
And one of the events was you would take field trips to the site where it happened.
Oh.
So maybe that happened and then the farmers were like, I'm over this.
Like, please stop dragging people to our farm.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Also, I feel like since there's a Mothman festival, I feel like they're probably super overshadowed.
Yeah, exactly.
By that
it's
every
like,
year.
Okay, well, come here on Mothman festivals. Like, often.
What they should do is put it the day before the Mothman Festival.
Right.
Try and draw the early birds.
Or they should have, like, Mothman Festival, and then, like, they should have a nighttime festival, like, a fair that everyone can go to when the Mothman stuff closes.
Oh, like a party? Like a nightclub
Like an after
version.
Party. Yeah.
An after party.
Flatwoods after party.
After party in Flatwoods.
Yeah.
Aw, I'd go to that.
Anyway, that's the story of the Flatwoods Monster.
Okay, I like that very much. That's weird. I've never heard of that. I guess Mothman probably does overshadow it, huh?
I'm sure, yeah.
I do love a good Mothman, though, I will say.
I know you do. Remember your mug I got you for your birthday?
Oh, I use it literally this morning. It's on my nightstand.
I got Christina a mug with a bunch of Mothman cartoons on it.
They're
all little pastel colors. So it looks like a little kid's princess mug, but when you look at the actual characters, they're all Mothman.
It's super cute. They have a lot. They're like, it's like a very 90s pastel color.
Yeah.
And then it's like little Mothman guys. It's super cute. It's my favorite mug.
Skip.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
And That's Why We Drink is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You won't want to miss Fluid Engine. This is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And I'll be honest, this is a game-changer. Back when I made the And That's Why We Drink website, I used Squarespace. This was obviously well before they were a sponsor, and we have used them ever since. And it's unbelievable how easy this tool is. Any of us on the team can log in and move some things around, update things. We don't need like a dedicated webmaster to figure it out for us because it's so accessible. I love Squarespace. I've made many websites with it before, and it's really easy to get started. You can get one of their Squarespace professional website templates to use. They have designs for every category and use case. Then you can customize your look, update content, add features to fit your unique needs. It's just a really, really cool service. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/drink to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. You've probably heard about Burrow. It's a new kind of furniture company known for timeless design, durable materials, and details that make life in your space easier. Last year, they brought their expertise outside with the launch of their outdoor line, and now they're adding more must-have pieces to the collection. Dunes offers seating, dining, and lounger options, while Scout is a new folding chair upholstered in a chic woven fabric. Made of durable materials made for all seasons, weather-resistant teak, stainless alloy, quick-dry, stain-resistant cushions, love that, with easy assembly and disassembly. They also just launched a new standing desk co-pilot with adjustable height, a durable scratch-resistant body with built-in storage to make working at home easier than ever. And of course, there's Burrow's legacy seating collections like the Nomad and Range, now available in new colors. So no matter what you choose, you always get free shipping on every order, which can run up to $100 for larger items, and that is a win. You know Emma and I love our burrow. And now that they have outdoor furniture, I'm very excited to get my lounge on. We have this balcony, and I am always looking for something to make it comfy, but also look chic, you know, because it's outside. Everyone can see it. And I want to look stylish while I'm bird watching. I love Burrow. It's easy to assemble. It ships free. I can't recommend them highly enough. And that's why We Drink listeners can get 15% off their first order at burrow.com/drink. That's Burrow, burrow.com/drink for 15% off. burrow.com/drink.
Okay, so I'm about to bring the party down.
Oh, I'm glad I was here to boost it up for a second.
This is my after party.
Right.
It makes you feel like crap. This is a very messed up story. I mean, I guess most of my stories are messed up, but I guess I also wrote these notes in the middle of the night, so it kind of extra messed me up.
I hear you.
This is the story of the murders of Sherry Smith and Deborah Helmick in South Carolina. Okay, so I found a new website that I have never used before called Crimola.com.
Crimola.
Sounds like something we would make up.
Yeah.
Stupidly on the show.
Very stupidly, yes.
Crimola, I think is how you say it.
Crimola?
Crimola.
Crimeola?
Maybe. And then obviously Murderpedia. And then a website called UPI.com. So, which is a news site. So this took place in South Carolina in the mid-80s. So it's May 31st, 1985. We're going to jump right in, so I'm sorry.
It's not even, like, one of those things I can brace myself for.
No.
Okay.
No, just close your eyes and remember just what's remember his name? The Flappy?
Just remember Braxy.
Braxy, not Flappy. Okay. Braxy and his flaps.
Flappy Braxy.
Aw. Okay. May 31st, 1985. Sharon Sherry Faye Smith, 17, only days away from her high school graduation, drove home from a pool party and pulled up to her mailbox, which was down the driveway from her family's house in Lexington, South Carolina. So her dad, Bob, was upstairs in his office and he noticed that she had pulled up next to the mailbox, went back to his work. But after a few minutes, he realized she hadn't come inside.
Oh, shit.
And he later said she always came and gave her daddy a big hug. So he was, like, waiting for her to come in and say Shit. Hi.
So, like, the second she got out of the car, someone was waiting for her? Fuck. Okay.
So it seems. So he looks back outside. He notices her car is still there. The front door is open. The engine is running. Her purse is inside, but she is gone.
Oh, shit.
So as you suspected. So Sherry had a rare form of diabetes. And so Bob and Sherry's mom knew that she wouldn't have intentionally gone anywhere without her medication. Like, she wouldn't have just, like, seen a friend and jumped off. She would have taken her medication with her. So, suddenly, the parents are terrified, obviously. They call the police, who, of course, immediately assume Sherry's just a runaway. But they were like, no, you don't understand. Like, her car was running. She left her purse. She has this, like, rare illness. She's going to die if she doesn't get her medication.
Right.
So finally, the police take it somewhat seriously. A search party commences, like, the weekend of graduation. So
shit.
All these local kids and families are, like, part of this volunteer search effort. You know, parties are suspended and people are just looking for Sherry. Hundreds of volunteers, local, state, and federal law enforcement all searching for her. Unfortunately, there's no trace of her. So things seem to be at a standstill until 3 days later when at 2:30 in the morning, the Smiths family phone rang. So Sherry's sister Dawn answered the phone, and the caller claimed that he had abducted Sherry at gunpoint from her car.
Shit.
He didn't demand a ransom. He just wanted to let them know he had her. He described articles of her clothing to prove that this wasn't a prank call, that he actually did have Sherry. He told them Sherry was still alive and that a letter from her would be arriving soon.
Oh my god.
So lo and behold, police apprehend a letter. I don't think apprehend is the right word. I think that's for people. The police
get a letter
at the post office. It's addressed to the Smiths. And at the top of the sheet, it's like a sheet of yellow legal paper. At the top of the sheet in Sherry's handwriting were the words last will and testament.
Oh, no.
I know. It's so fucked up. So I went digging. They didn't have this on any of the articles, but I found, like, an old transcript of the full letter. So I'm just gonna read it to you.
Okay.
It said at the top of the sheet, last will and testament, June 1st, 1985, 3:10 a.m. Okay, it's really sad.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I love y'all. I love you, Mommy, Daddy, Robert, Don, and Richard, and everyone else and all the other friends and relatives. I'll be with my father now, so please, please don't worry. Just remember my witty personality and great special times we all shared together. Please don't ever let this ruin your lives. Just keep living one day at a time for Jesus. Some good will come out of this. My thoughts will always be with you and in you. Casket closed, please. I love you all so damn much. Sorry, Dad, I had to cuss for once. Jesus, forgive me. Richard, sweetie, I really did and always will love you and treasure our special moments. I ask one thing, though. Accept Jesus as your personal savior. My family has been the greatest influence on my life. Sorry about the cruise money. Someday, please go in my place. I am sorry if I ever disappointed you in any way. I only wanted to make you proud of me because I have always been proud of my family. Mom, Dad, Robert, and Don, there's so much I want to say that I should have said before now. I love you. I know y'all love me and will miss me very much, but if y'all stick together like we always did, y'all can do it. Please do not become hard or upset. Everything works out for the good for those that love the Lord. All my love always. I love y'all with all my heart. Sharon, Sherry Smith. P.S. Nana, I love you so much. I kind of always felt like your favorite. You were mine.
Wow.
It's like so
wow
horrifying. So this came in the mail and they were like, okay, so he's saying she's still alive. The FBI immediately get involved. So they take over basically the whole house. They are escorting the whole family, all the siblings, anywhere they need to go, escorting the mom to the grocery store, like making sure they are covering every base every time. So the man continues to call. He's just like taunting the Smiths with phone calls. He calls 8 times over the course of several days, each time telling them Sherry was still alive. The FBI is trying to tap these phone calls. He also describes raping her and sodomizing her.
Oh, no.
After which he tells her mother, quote, Sherry is now part of me physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Our souls are now one.
Oh my God.
Fucking sick.
What?
Sick bastard. So authorities are attempting to trace these calls, and every time they wind up at a public payphone 20 miles away, the receiver's off the hook. There's no trace of anybody. So they just can't, they can't get a hold of who this person is. Then on June 5th, the man made his 8th call to the Smith family. He told them he had wrapped, oh God, okay. He told them he had wrapped Cherry's head in duct tape and suffocated her, then gave directions to her body. So they found her body in the spot that he had described, but it was in such bad condition due to decomp that it was hard to determine the cause of death. And autopsy results couldn't figure out if she was raped, as her abductor had claimed. However, it was believed she suffocated or died of dehydration, possibly connected to her rare form of diabetes.
Right.
So it wasn't clear whether he was just saying these things to, like, fuck with them, how true they were. He could have just been, you know, trying to get a rise out of them.
Right, right, right.
And it was also determined that despite what he had said about Sherry being alive for days after her abduction, he had actually killed her within 12 hours.
So, yeah, that sounds...
You're right.
I mean, for her body to already be going through, like, that intensive
exactly,
decomp.
Exactly. So they were like, so he was lying when he said, like, oh, she's still alive, I'm still torturing her, stuff like... It was just to get a rise out of the family. So obviously Sherry's family is heartbroken, but like almost immediately after, the killer strikes again.
Shit.
So he, oh, sorry, I messed up. I'm sorry, I messed up.
So he doesn't strike again. Oh, thank God.
He does.
Oh, God.
Okay, so it didn't stop the killer, who continued, first of all, before he strikes again, spoiler alert, he continues to call the Smith family, even after they find Sherry's body.
Oh, my God. Just say what?
Taunting them. And they have to answer because the FBI is trying to, like, tap the calls, so they can't ignore it. So he's taunting them. He calls to discuss funeral arrangements with them. So he's just fucking, like, torturing these people. And most of the time he's talking to her sister, Dawn. Then while Sherry's family was grieving, and the FBI is still trying to track him down... and the manhunt, by the way, would become the largest in South Carolina history. So while all this is going on, like I spoiled for everybody earlier, the perpetrator strikes again. So June 14th, 1985, 2 weeks after Sherry's kidnapping.
Right, pretty quick.
Like, yeah, right. Within, like, less than 10 days after they found her body. 9-year-old Deborah Mae Helmick was outside her house in Richland County, South Carolina, playing with her younger siblings.
Shit.
Middle of the day, broad daylight, a car drives up and a man just grabs Deborah and drives away.
Oh my God.
Like that kind of panic people talked about back in like the 90s and stuff.
Right, right, right.
Just like you don't, I mean, it's so outrageous and like most kidnappings take place by people in your own family. So it's.
Yeah, random acts of crime are just.
Totally.
A whole other ballpark.
It sounds like a Lifetime movie. But so he basically, just like he did to the Smith family, the man would call the Helmick family to taunt them about having their 9-year-old daughter. He called and told them he had murdered her.
Oh, my God.
Murdered Deborah. He gave detailed directions leading to her body, which was also badly decomposed by the time it was located, making it difficult to determine her cause of death. So at this point, obviously, the FBI are desperate to catch this guy, but they don't have much information because he's calling from payphones. But they do have that letter, that quote, last will and testament that right. Sherry had written to her family. So the FBI examined it using something called an electrostatic detection apparatus to determine residual indentations left on the paper. In other words, they were able to look at it and see if there were any impressions from other, from writing.
Got it.
From, you know, other sheets that had been on the legal pad. So they found incomplete phone numbers, and they were able to track down one of these phone numbers, and it belonged to a local man and his wife. There was an elderly couple. At first, authorities weren't sure if maybe they had something to do with the murders, but when they described the killer's profile to the couple, they were like, we know who you're talking about. We know this man. So it turns out the man that they pointed to was an electrician who worked for the older man in the couple, who frequently house sat for them. So they were like, oh yeah, we know who that is. He house sits for us all the time when we're out of town.
Oh no.
And he works, he does some electrical work for us. His name is Larry Jean Bell. So June 27th, 1985, the FBI tracked down Larry Jean Bell, and he is taken into custody and charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder. During his 6-hour testimony at his trial, Bell continuously blurted out bizarre comments. He carried on these like ridiculous theatrics. He refused to give answers, but would just like talk and talk and talk for hours.
What?
Whenever he didn't want to answer a question, he would shout, "Silence is golden." At one point, he even yelled out, "I would like Dawn," so Sherry's sister, "I would like Dawn E. Smith to marry me," and attempted to propose to her on the stand. So
he is crackers.
Well, he later made statements indicating that he was attempting to fake mental illness in order to receive a more lenient sentence. So he was playing
insanity.
Yeah, he was playing the insanity card. However, he did claim to be Jesus Christ, which is something that a card that he continued to play until he died. So it's unclear.
So there's a chance he might have actually been mentally unwell.
It could be. In some way, I think he... It's probably safe to say he was mentally unwell in some way or another, but I think maybe it seems like a lot of times these people exaggerate for the sake of trying to, like, play it off as, oh, I'm just crazy, you know, don't give me the death sentence, whatever. However, in prison, he reportedly smeared his own feces on himself and drank his own urine, so it seemed like maybe...
So he's really committing to
he's
it.
He's committing to the...
If he's faking it, he's committing to
it. It's method acting is what it is.
Right, sure.
However, if that is what he was trying to do, it didn't work because the jury found him guilty and he was sentenced to death.
Okay.
So weirdly enough, so Bell, who, as I mentioned, was an electrician, chose instead of lethal injection that he wanted to die by the electric chair.
That's on brand.
Yeah. When asked why he made that decision, he said it was so he could be with his victims sooner.
Ew.
Yeah. He claimed he wanted to go to heaven to be with his girls sooner.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Fucking sick. So he's literally still torturing these families, like, even on death row. So Larry Jean Bell was executed on October 4th, 1996. Interestingly enough, he also turned out to be a suspect in 2 other unsolved disappearances.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So one of them was the 1984 disappearance of Sandy Elaine Cornett, who was... happened to be the girlfriend of one of Bell's co-workers.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And then another woman named Denise Newsome Porch, who was last seen in July of 75 and lived in an apartment complex right near where Bell lived. They both vanished in Charlotte, North Carolina. And to this day, their cases remain unsolved and they are classified as missing.
Interesting.
So although he was a suspect, it was never, you know, fully linked to him.
Right. Got it.
A year after Sherry Smith's death, her sister Dawn, who spent a lot of time having to deal with the phone calls and the taunting that Belle, you know, inflicted on the family, Dawn was crowned Miss South Carolina in 1986. She is now known as Dawn Smith Jordan and became a Christian singer-songwriter. She's written a book on the family story throughout the ordeal called Grace So Amazing, a true story of God's grace in the midst of life-shattering tragedy. And she also recorded a song called Sisters, which was dedicated to Sherry. So this is actually interesting. I found this article on a website called... It's a organization, sorry, called Prison Fellowship. And so, I mean, it's like, you know, a Christian-based website, but I did find this article about the family, and I think it's no surprise at this point that they're clearly a, you know, identify as Christian, but it's very interesting. It talks about how they forgave him, like forgave the killer, forgave Belle. It says, after Belle was arrested, officers brought Sherry's mom, Hilda, and her sister, Dawn, to see Belle in jail before he was executed. According to Bob, Sherry's dad, when Hilda met Belle, quote, she forgave him to his face. And he was amazed at his wife's strength and mercy, but he said he couldn't do it. I would not be. I don't think I could do it. I can't do it reading this, let alone like being in the position, you know. It took him another 7 months to reach his own point of forgiveness. And so this is from the article, and for whatever reason, it like really got me last night. I was like blown away by this. But yeah. So it said, at the urging of a friend, he went behind a secluded barn and, quote, just blasted it out. I was really, really mad. I wanted to scream and holler at God. My friend said, go ahead, he can take it. And it was such a relief to do that physical thing and get all those emotions out. Once he let them out, he was able to let them go. Bob's forgiveness of Belle dovetailed with his forgiveness of himself. Quote, I was supposed to take care of my children, and in my mind, I had failed. Maybe I needed to forgive myself before I could forgive him. It happened almost at the same time. And that is a story of double murder, Larry Jean
Bell. Oh my gosh.
That went quicker than I expected, but whew. It was a heavy one. Yeah. It got me pretty good last night.
Yeah. I don't know what it's like to have to be you and like read a bunch of really dark shit every day.
It's just really, I have to be really careful because sometimes I do it at night and it's like, why am I doing this before I try to go to sleep? Like reading traumatic
things. Like last wills and testaments from children. Right,
exactly. To their parents, trying to comfort their own parents. I mean, it's really traumatic. But anyway, so yeah, that one got me good. It's very sad, but you know, it's the world, I guess.
Great.
Yeah. So what a motherfucker. Fuck him. I can't. And it was really sad because when I read about the execution and Deborah, the 9-year-old's dad, witnessed the execution, and Sherry's parent family witnessed the execution, and Sherry's parents said, like, we have to forgive him. That's the only way we can, like, function and, like, take care of our own children. Like, it's our only way of moving on.
I have yet to understand that concept.
It's very hard.
I think it's, like, probably a really big, mature thing, but I've never thought, like, oh, if someone did something to a family member, I'd be able to forgive them.
I can hardly forgive an ex-boyfriend, like,
I can't process that information.
But so then they said that, and the Deborah's father was like, no, he's like, I hope he, I don't know what he said. He was like, no, fuck him. I hope he rots in hell. Like, this is, he doesn't deserve my forgiveness. And so I can absolutely see both, you know, ways. I can't pretend to be that I would be like, you know, wise and mature. Like I really couldn't
be. I'm telling you right now, I would not be able to be.
And that's not to say, you know, they didn't go through trauma and whatever. I think that they just handled it differently than I think.
Probably better.
Yeah. Better than completely than I would have been able to. So anyway,
wow.
Just really wild, but
oh my goodness.
Very sad. So that's that.
So I hope you enjoyed that happy ending.
Let's talk about Braxy again. Braxy and his flaps.
God, what's the word you hate the most? Besides moist, everyone hates the word moist.
I don't care about that word. I get why it's like gross to people, but like it doesn't bother me.
What about moist flaps? Is that really gross?
I've heard moist panties really bothers people.
Yeah, I hate panties. My mom's favorite word is panties.
Ew. Yeah. It's such a weird one.
She says it all. I'm like, just say underwear.
Why would you say it? Like, what? Oh, just like as underwear.
Like, no, she says it in replacement of the word underwear. She's like, what? My panties. And I'm like, oh my God, please stop talking.
That's so bad, Linda.
So gross.
No,
like, she calls like making out French kissing.
Okay, we've talked about this because I was like, there's something else she says. Yeah, French kissing.
She was asking me about like someone I was dating in high school and, or in college. And she's like, well, what about, what did you like French kissing them? And I was like, we're never having a single conversation again.
Vomitous. I almost just threw up in my mouth.
Okay, so French kissing is the word that you hate the most.
There's, I don't really have that. I don't know why. I don't like, there aren't really words that bother me that much. I think
I hate anything that implies my mother's talking about intimate things like panties and French.
If my mother's French involved, kissing, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff.
Yeah,
I think like words that remind me of like medical stuff, so like tendons, I don't like the word. I don't like spine, tendons, I don't like syringe.
I don't like any of those physical things. I don't really, the words don't bother me too much.
I think I just, it makes me bleh.
Yeah,
anyway, so on that note,
anyway, I hope everyone has a least favorite word and does not think about it today, except you're probably being primed to think about it
right now.
Think
about your favorite word.
Think about moist flaps, panties, and French kissing.
Ew.
Gross.
That is not going in our children's book.
Nope.
That can go in Linda's children's
book. That'll be our dedication.
Oh, no. That'll be the PG-13 version.
Gross. All right. Well, thank you guys.
We'll leave you guys alone.
I guess. See you next week.
Yeah, I think there's like 5 tickets left for
Atlanta.
Yeah, cool. So maybe unless everyone listening just like resold their tickets on, just like posted their tickets back on Ticketmaster. I don't want this anymore. Somebody else have it.
All right.
So we'll see you guys in September if you're going to that. Otherwise, we'll see you next week when we chat about something else fucked up.
Yay!
Yay!
And
that's
why
we
drink.
Woo!
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.